Blog Talk Radio.
Like I surrendered, I didn't do what I would pray. Living my life watching the weather, wasting time and chasing fate. I look at the life I've been designing, waiting around for my breakthrough. But I'm pushing my dreams to the side of me. I give you my all, I give you my all, and I'm not running anymore. I give you my all, I'm giving you all of me, all of me.
With my
Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. And I find you, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart.
Welcome. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for coming to rescue me. Thank God for a plan for my life. Thank God that his plans toward me, but for me to benefit, for him to get the glory. And I'm just grateful to serve such a God that was willing to give his life just for me. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network. If this is your first time, welcome. If it's your second time, welcome. If it's your third or more time, welcome. We're glad that you're here and always expecting to hear what God has to say through PGN. We thank God for Randy and Julie, our spiritual mother and father, and the founders of Prophetic Grace Network. We just thank God for their protection, their covering, and being the under-shepherd here with this ministry. Again, we're grateful to be here, and I'm one half of your host, Terrence.
And I am your other half of your host, Tanisha. And welcome to PGN. Today is August 24th. It's 2022, 7:13 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like Taryn says, we're always excited to be here. We're glad that you're tuned in, whether it be your first time, your 100th time, millionth, whatever time. We're just glad that you're here, you're plugged in, and that you want to hear from God. And that's what we all want. You know, we're all doing this thing called life together, and we have a desire to hear from God. And that's what this network is about. It's about the prophetic voice of God and giving us guidance and directions, because we want to make good decisions. We want to know what's coming. We want to live a good life, a life of peace and joy. And the prophetic really does that. You know, even when you think about when the children of Israel were in captivity for 70 years, there's a peace in knowing what's going on. Even when what's going on is not what you desire, there's still peace that you can get because God has told you through the prophetic what was going to happen. And then so when it happens, you're not stressed out. You're not like, what in the world? You know, you're like, this is prophecy coming to pass, and I know the amount of time. And so if I know what's going on, I can make do and make the best of things. And so I love the prophetic. I'm very grateful to be used in the prophetic realm. Now, I wasn't always that way. when God first told me the gift that I had, I didn't want it. But I have, over time, learned to really love the prophetic and the prophetic gift in me, prophetic gift in others, because it really does edify the body of Christ. And it really does help us to keep that flame of hope burning in us and to keep our faith strong. So we know that if you're tuned in tonight, that's why, because you want to hear from God. You want to hear what the voice of God is saying, and you trust the people that God is using in this network to be instruments to do just that, to bring the prophetic voice of the Lord to you. And we don't take that for granted. We don't take it lightly. And we just ask that we decrease all the time so that God can increase and use us to be a benefit to the body of Christ. So we're excited to be a part of that. We're glad that you're a part of that too.
Amen. Being a part of something, it carries a lot of value in your life. What you're a part of, a lot of times, determines, you know, where you end up. Determines basically where you're headed on what you're a part of, what you allow to come in. Because when you take part in something, you're a part of something. Being a part of something speaks volumes. It lets everybody know that I'm a part of it. You know, you look at when you go to college or wherever you are, you're part of that school. You begin to wear its school colors. You begin to correlate things with its history. You know, you begin to learn alma maters and root for them. You gather a heart for what you are a part of. You put yourselves in it. You see people at sporting events, they put the colors on, they paint faces, they do whatever to show their honor and to show their respect and their love for that institution in which they are a part of. And us being a part of the body of Christ, you know, we should give Christ the same just due. You know, we should wear our belief with honor. We should wear our belief with gratitude. We should wear our belief with respect. You know, everything in this earth demands respect. You know, you think about it. People say, you ain't got to like it, but you better respect it. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll tell us that, you know, that's what they want. But I really don't have to respect that I don't believe it. I can acknowledge that, but I ain't got to have some respect for something that I know, you know, won't help me. You know, I don't have respect for whatever it is that somebody's doing that's contrary to the word of God, to the will of God. I don't have respect for those things. Mm-hmm. I don't have respect for what the enemy does. I don't have no respect for that. But I acknowledge it. I have knowledge of it. You get what I mean? I recognize it. You know, I see what it is. So therefore, I know how to handle it in return to what I do have respect for. You know, I have respect for my Savior. I have respect for my Creator. You know, I have respect for the Bible. You know, I'm still growing and still developing and still learning, but I respect it. And that's what I'm a part of. This is the belief system that I'm a part of. And so when the world begins to come at us contrary to what we believe, contrary to what we have respect for, we then have to begin to shout out loud, you know, what it is that we are a part of. You know, we should, if we honor it and we're walking in and this is what we believe, how dare you come to me and tell me something else outside of it? Because I know what the truth is, and what I got can help you. What you're bringing me ain't going to do nothing for me. And so when we walk in this assurance, when we walk in this boldness during this season, that's the type of boldness we need to have when it comes down to the word of God. But we first need to know what the word of God says in order to know what's being opposed, you know, concerning the enemy's tricks and his tactics and his ways. You know, I have to know what's available to me. I got to know what's in my arsenal. It's like going to war, and you got all the weapons that can end this whole war, but you don't even know, you can't identify your weapons. You don't know what these things are used for, how to use them. You know, you don't know what you got, but you know you got something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to get in and to know what it is that we have. And he not only know what it is that we have, but know how to use it and use it properly so that the word can be effective. So that the things that we have and that we present to the world will be effective. You know, that's why he tells us, you know, we have to lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we can't always try to put things on the level of, okay, I get that. You know, there's going to be times where you're not going to get it. You just got to be led. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. So we have to really trust in the Holy Spirit. You know, we first must know that he is. You know, God is. And so I have to believe in him to have a belief in what he's providing me with. He's providing us with the Holy Spirit. And it always sticks out to me in Scripture. And when I always, you know, think about it, he said, when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, right? But I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, which will teach you all things. Think about that weaponry. I'm going to give you something that's going to teach you all things. Because this is a piece of me. This is my spirit in which I'm putting in you because I'm all-knowing. Guess what? It knows all. So it's going to bear witness.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bear witness within you to be like, that's God. That's not God.
Mm-hmm.
This is the witness that we have in us through the Holy Spirit. It's God in us that's guiding us through our journey here on earth and is giving us the instructions, the God instructions on what it is we need to do and how we need to do them according to the gospel of you. This is your tour guide here in the earth. You got the all-knower. We have the all-knower living on the inside of us. And so when we really tap into knowing that that's what it is, like God has given us him, there is no reason to tap into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything else has a limit. It has limitations. It's not fail-proof outside of Christ. That's why when we really think about what God has given us to use here in this earth to overcome depression, to overcome oppression, to overcome hurt, to overcome fears, to overcome doubt and worry, being stressed, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of just being weak, you know, all of these things have been overcome. Jesus has already overcome the world. He is the overcomer. And because through his blood, we are overcomers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So are we. So I plead tonight that we really begin to trust the Holy Spirit, that we really begin to understand what the Holy Spirit is for in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tell ourselves it's time to tap in. It's time for us to really tap in. When we tap in, we can tap up. We can get up. learn some things, you know. We need to understand our position and understand our authority here in the earth. It doesn't matter what this world is doing. The world doesn't win. Nothing in this world is going to last forever. Jesus has already overcome the world, and I thank God for that. So as we continue to live our lives, we have to continue to trust in the Lord and learning how to trust him with all thine heart, so we won't lean to our own understanding. Just in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he said he'll direct our paths. So let's really put God as the main source for everything that we need to happen in our lives. Everything that we need to happen in our lives. Let Jesus be the main source.
Amen. Because there's a lot of sources out there, but Jesus has to be the main source. Because a lot of the times we'll put our hope and trust and faith in a resource, you know, like a job. I mean, how many people feel safe because of their job in this shaky economy and hearing about people getting laid off and robots taking over the workforce and all that kind of stuff? But some people are real confident in their job, which is
right.
a resource.
Right.
You know, the source is God. You have to put your faith in the right things. Because what if you drive up to your job tomorrow and they got the gates locked up and there's a note that says, you know, job closed.
Sorry.
You know, go home. Job closed. You'll get a call or something.
Wrong address.
Then what? Return the sender. You know, I've heard of people having that happen to them in their real life. And they said it was not a very pleasant feeling to pull up and have faith that you're going to go to work and have faith that you're going to get paid that Friday. And now everything has changed, but your bills are still knocking at the door saying, hey, we want to get paid. And some people fell into depression. Some people knew who their true source was. But we have to know what our source is to everything. You know, everything else is a resource. God is our source. And everything else is a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's okay to know that, you know, you work steady or you know that you do certain things to ensure that you receive income and all that kind of thing. Nobody's saying to be delusional or to deny, you know, how things operate or function, but know what the source is. Know what's behind the face of the job. You know, what's behind them being able to give you income, because God can just drop, he can have money appear at the foot of your bed. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do. And so when the resource dries out, you're not inclined to do things to ensure the resource. How many people have compromised because they didn't want to lose the resource?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a job will tell them to do something unethical or do something that's against their beliefs or even deny their, you know, beliefs while they're at work. And they do it because they are putting their faith in that resource where they can go to God and say, what is it that you want me to do? No, it says 90 minutes. Tara, we just got a notification that we had 90 seconds, but I know I reset the time. So, yeah, because it shows it here. I'm not sure why it's doing that, but hopefully it doesn't cut us off. But, yeah, a lot of the times people will compromise themselves because they are afraid. They'll operate in fear. Okay, that's weird. It is really like making it seem like it's about to cut off. If it does cut us off, we'll try to get back on. Because it's showing the right time as far as the amount of time that we have, but it's like telling us like the show's about to end, so I'm not sure why it's doing that. Hopefully it doesn't cut us off. But when you know who the source is, you don't compromise, you don't bow down. You know, think about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted by Nebuchadnezzar as far as the fact they would not bow down to the golden image. So now they're confronted head on with what could be considered a resource, right? Because he was the king of the land, he could make or break people, and he can determine if people lived or even died. So that's going head on with the resource. And he did that because he was trying to scare them. He probably, I think in his mind, and I don't know if this is to be true, I'm just telling you concerning it. I think in his mind, he was like, oh, they're not bound down, but I bet you they bow down when I say something to them about it. I bet you if I, you know, confront them face to face, they're going to change their tune, and they didn't. They were like, we're not doing it now or ever. And he's like, oh, okay, so he upped the ante. Okay, I'm going to throw you in the fire then. And they said, okay. And you do it, and our God will save us. And guess what? Even if our God doesn't save us, we still won't bow down. We want you to know that we still won't bow down to your golden image. They didn't care because they knew who the source was. They knew the source of their life was God. So even though Nebuchadnezzar was in a position of being a resource of the fact that you could live or die, they didn't care because they knew who their source was. So they knew if the source, if it was time for the, if the source felt it was time, their time, then it was because of the source making that decision, not because of him, that he couldn't make or break them. He couldn't decide if they lived or died, that it was not in his hands because they understood who the source of life was. And so we have to understand that too, so that we're not compromising, so that we're not making bad decisions, so that we're not bowing down to anything that's contrary to God, because we're going to face that. We're going to face that as being end time people, which we are. All of you are end time people, you know. So we're going to have a unique set of circumstances that we're dealing with as we navigate through these end times. And yeah, they're going to try to get us to bow down. Yeah, they're going to try to get us to renounce our faith. Yeah, they're going to try to get us to do things that are against, you know, what God has instructed us to do. And a lot of the times people will do it because they are putting too much faith in a resource and not putting their faith in the source. So tonight, let's put our faith in Christ. That's where our hope is. Let's trust that he has plans for our life, and let's trust that he knows, he's all knowing. You know, he knows if your job says either lie on this application or get fired. He knows that. It's part of, he's already incorporated that in his plan for your life. He's not like, oh my gosh, they better lose their job. I wasn't counting on that. No, he knows. So it doesn't matter if you do lose your job. It doesn't matter if the doctors do say, we're not helping you anymore. It doesn't matter if your kids do start to act wayward. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Put your faith and hope in Christ. That's the source. That's the source of your financial well-being. That's the source of your good health. That's the source of your peace. That's the source of your joy. That's the source of your being. That is. Everything else is a resource. So let's do that tonight.
Amen.
Amen. So we're still here, even though it said we had 10 seconds, more than 10 seconds ago. So I think maybe Blog Talk is just tripping a little bit. But let's do a collective prayer and then start answering some callers and hearing what God has to say to you personally.
Lord, we thank you for another moment. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us, Father. And Lord, we pray that we take no opportunity that you give us for granted. And Lord, teach us how to absorb the moments that we are in and absorb all that you have for us in the moments, whether we like them or not, but really try to focus on seeing you in everything that's here. You know, everything that we experience, Father God, teach us how to dive in to wanting to hear from you and see what you are saying in situations. And Lord, we just thank you because you said if we seek you, we will find. Seeking, ye shall find. And so, Lord, we are constantly seeking your voice, Father God. We're constantly seeking your purpose for our lives, Father God. And we're just constantly just seeking direction from you so that we can navigate properly through this life in which you've given us. Lord, we step aside tonight, Father God, we decrease as you increase, but our tongues we yield to you to be guided by your Holy Spirit to say the words that you want to be said. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's start answering some callers. First caller here is 605-390. Who are we speaking to? Volume up. Okay. You there, 605-390?
I'm here. It's Carla, Arkansas.
Hey, Carla. Hey, Carla, how are you tonight? We haven't spoken to you in a while.
I know. I'm all right. How about y'all?
Good. Sound like you out there in that track.
Yeah, I'm on my way home from work.
All right. We're going to give you word on your way home. Might want to pull over.
Well, I'm listening good. I don't got a lot of traffic, really. It's the interstate, so, and I'm not in no big city right now, so I'm not got too many people in front of me.
Good, good, good. Let's pray then.
Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. For Carla, Father God, we thank you for the protection. We thank you for her having a full understanding of her impact in everything that she has her hand in. Her impact as a employee, as a mother, as in every single role. But sometimes we will feel like we're just kind of spinning our wheels, and we'll feel like it's kind of for nothing, and we're just get kind of lost in the day-to-day life. You know, we're just waking up, doing the same thing. It starts to feel more like a routine. But when you understand the impact of what you're doing, it changes your perspective. And it actually lights a fire in you to where you're more intentional about showing up. And when I say showing up all of you, not just showing up like physically, but you showing up, everything about who you are, what makes you Carla, the difference between you and the next person, your personality type, your experiences, your faith, everything, it makes you show up, like, for real. Because yeah. People can show up at work, and they're only given 10% of who they are. They're just showing up enough to do the job. Even as parents, some parents, they're just trying to get their kid grown so they ain't got to deal with them no more. You know, they're not putting their all into it. So I see you really understanding your impact so you can fully show up. Fully, every part of who you are and where you're putting your all into. Because we're all spirits. We're all spirits that live in the body. Where you're putting the spirit of Carla into it, that only you can do. You know, Chance and I were talking the other day about recipes and how you can have a recipe from somebody that you love. They can give you the recipe, exact measurements, everything that they do, and you can do it exactly the way they tell you to do it, in the order that they tell you to mix everything and bake it in at the temperature for the amount of time, and it even looks like the way they do it, but when you taste it, something's off. And I think the reason is because people, we're spirits, so we put ourselves into things. So you can't duplicate a person's spirit, their touch. Because it's like our touch in the natural, whatever we touch has our fingerprint on it, and they're unique. Nobody has the same set. Like, think about all the people who've lived in this earth before us, and our fingerprint is different than theirs. So that's something that's unique about all of us. We all have a different set of prints, which means our touch is all different. That I can't put the Carla touch on something that Tanisha touched, because I don't have your touch. I don't have your fingerprint.
Right.
So I don't have your stamp. Like, when you think about it, back in the day, when the king would send a message, he would put a stamp on it. He would use a signet ring. So they would put like some warm wax, and then he would stamp his signet ring so that they knew that it came from his hand. That was his. That was a way of when they sent it by messenger. If that wax or whatever was not there, then they wouldn't trust it. So that was a way of stamping and putting their touch on it, and knowing it came from their hand. We know a person's touch and hand by their fingerprint, and it's no different than the spirit of who you are. When you put your all, when you show up and put your all, only you can do that. Nobody else can do that. Because you can give your, you know, you
right.
have a world brownie recipe, and it ain't going to taste like, if I make it, it ain't going to taste like when you make it, because I didn't put my stamp on it. I can't put the spirit of Carla in them brownies. I don't possess that. And so you're going to start moving where you're putting your all into it, your stamp. Where somebody else will do it, and they'd be like, man, I did it just like her. I followed the instructions. I did it step by step. But something is off. Can't nobody mother like you mother. Can't nobody do the job that you do. They can do the job, but they can't do it like you. They can mother.
Right.
But they can't do it like you, because only you can be you. Nobody can duplicate you. They can try. They can imitate. but they cannot duplicate. And so you're going to understand your impact, and understanding your impact lets you understand your importance to things. But sometimes we don't feel important. We just feel like, I'm a little peon, right? Nobody's listening to me. You know, I'm trying to do the best, and they don't even see it. They don't see what I do for them. They don't understand. I feel like I'm not making a difference. I'm digging a hole, and then the dirt's falling back in, you know? So what am I digging for?
You know,
sometimes you can feel like that, where it feels like you're not doing anything except for just busy being busy. But when you understand that you are making a difference, sometimes we make a difference that we cannot see right away. Sometimes it takes a season. Sometimes it takes two seasons, three. But when you understand that you are, in fact, making a difference, you will show up different. So, Lord, we just thank you for Carla. Thank you, Father God, for giving her the insight to see that the impact of what she does, that she is making a difference, and that it's not a matter of her filling a spot. Somebody else could fill the spot, but they can't do it the way she does it. So her presence is important. And what's even more important is that she shows up fully, that she's not half doing it or just saying, it's going to get by. I'm just trying to get through today. I'm just trying to make these kids shut up. I'm just not none of that, where she's giving it her all, putting all of it into every role that you positioned her, every role that you ordained for her. These are roles that you ordained. She didn't fall or stumble or make a mistake into it, even though sometimes it feels that way, and sometimes it even looks that way in the natural. These are still roles that you ordained for her and roles that you have approved her to operate in. So she's where she needs to be in each moment, and she's making a difference. Help her to see that and operate in that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. That was good. Mm-hmm.
That was good. I know sometimes I feel very insecure and feel like that I don't really do anything well. And I know the other day, you know, I've been going through a lot of changes in my life right now and trying to know which way God wants me to go and stuff like that. And my son was telling me the other day, he gave me just all these compliments, told me how wonderful I was, and things he told me that I never even realized about myself. And, you know, so I guess I just need to realize that I am important because I don't always feel like it.
Yeah. You are. You're important to God. He put you here. You know, you don't compare, because it's even sometimes what we're doing is it's small in the grand scheme of things, but it's the little things that can make a big difference. A small spark can start a big fire. So we can never discount the little, because even whether it be good, bad, or ugly, a little yeast leaven the bread, a little bit. The faith of a mustard seed can make a mountain crumble. So when we look at the word of God, even the little foxes spoil the vine, God is teaching us throughout his word not to look past the little, that the little can do a lot. The little turns into much. You know, because when you are trusted with a little, then God gives you a lot. So we never can discount the little things, but the enemy will use it. You barely doing anything. You barely making what you need. You know, he always try to use it as if it's a bad thing. But when we know the word, say, I am doing a little bit, but this is what God has assigned for me to do. And a little turns into a lot. It takes a lot of pennies to make $1 million, but it's still a lot of pennies. But if you take a penny by itself, it's little, but you can be a penny short. And now you're not a millionaire. So just because it's small don't mean it's not impactful. And that's what you have to remember and tell yourself and have that self-talk when you're feeling that way and saying, I'm just not good at that. I'm not. Maybe you're just good at showing up. Maybe you're good at being consistent. People need that. People need consistency. Maybe you're a good person to talk to. We ain't got to be good at no magnificent things. We just be good at what God assigned us to be good at and know that it makes a difference. That's it.
Right. That's it. Well, I'm going to do better trying to do that because I've been working on, you know, I've been working on a lot of stuff and, one, knowing who I am in Christ and just getting my confidence back and, you know, I just been working on everything, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And God hears your cries and he hears your prayers and he's there to help. He loves to help us.
Yep.
He loves to be where we want to be, especially when our goals are beneficial to us, the kingdom, other people. So, you know, in God's mind, you're already there. You're just walking it out and working it out. You just keep plugging on and know that you're getting there, and give yourself some grace. Because we have grace for everybody else, but we barely have any to spare ourselves sometimes. We got to have a lot of grace for ourselves, too. This is our first time living, and it's going to be our last time living on this side of eternity. So we all trying to get it right, and we're not going to get it right all the time. So we got to say, you know what? I ain't lived before. What am I being all so hard on myself for? This time we'll be new at a job, and they give you a lot of grace. They give you even a grace period at work. When you have a new job, they give you a grace period because they know when you're new, you're trying to figure it out. Why we don't give ourselves some grace when we've never lived a life before? It's our first time.
Yeah. I know I'm really bad about that. I really beat myself up over a lot of things. And, you know, I've had several people tell me recently that I'm in the wilderness right now and, you know, I'm being pruned. And I'm like, this ain't really fun. But, you know, God is training me in a lot of different areas right now. It's been very hard because he's changing me where I act out of my emotions. I know that's one thing he's training me not to do, is to not act out of my emotions, and that's been very hard because I've been wanting to really just get mad a few times, and he's just had me step back and think and just do things more in love, and I'm like, okay, God, I get it. I'm ready to be out of this season because it's been pretty rough. There's been people who's left my life and people who have entered my life and, you know, different ways that I think God has taken me. I'm not sure what he's doing just yet, but I know there's a lot of changes taking place in my life right now, and so it's been pretty hard, really.
Yeah, I've had that wilderness. I've had wilderness experiences plenty of times, and it is definitely hard when you're having that transition to really walking in the spirit and not your emotions. You know, what helps me is just identifying them. I am angry, but I don't have to operate in the anger. Or I am sad, but I don't have to operate in sad. Or I want to go off on this person, but I don't have to operate in my need to go off. You know, you just acknowledge it and see, does it apply? Because every emotion, you know, emotions have, you know, purpose too, you know, but how can I effectively operate in it if I need to at all? Do I take a step back? You know, you learn how to master your emotions. You'll learn to die to self, fall off and die daily. That's what that meant. I mean, I know Paul wanted to go off on people. He was an intellectual man, too. And they was really trying him and trying to play him stupid. And I know he wanted to go off. Like, do you know the type of information? Like, do you understand the level that I'm at as far as a knower of the law? Like, I know he wanted to go off on people. But die to self. You know, I know things made him angry. Die to self. You know, you could tell through some of them letters, you know, that he was like, what are you doing? You know, I know he wants to really go off and have different choice of words in some of them letters, but he chose to operate in grace. Because when you know the truth and you're sharing the truth and then people are just doing the complete opposite, it's going to make you upset, you know, where you want to kind of just shake them by the shoulders, like, what are you doing? But he learned how to, you know, how to master those emotions by dying to self, and that's what you're learning, and that pruning does hurt. You know, anything that's pruned requires cutting. You know, we don't prune roses with our bare fingers. We use a tool to prune anything. When you prune your trees and all that, you use a tool that cuts it. And so that's what you're feeling, that cut. It's cutting things, and cuts hurt, but they heal, and when you're pruned, it makes it better, and it makes it produce more. That's why we prune things in the natural, because it cuts off the dead things that are not, you know, helping it so that it can produce. It makes it more beautiful. It makes it more usable. It makes it have more to give. So that's what you got to remember in this season, that, okay, this hurts. I don't like it. But now God is expanding me. You know, we want to be expanded. Well, ask God, enlarge my territory, expand me, use me. And then he starts cutting. You're like, well, ouch. What are you doing? But he's like, you said you're supposed to be used, and you're like, but that hurts. And he's like, yeah, but I need that to use you. I gotta prune you, because you got some dead areas and you're not growing over here, but over there is flourishing. So let me cut this off, and then you got an extra branch here and it's kind of hanging and it's causing you to bend over here, so I gotta cut that off. And we just don't be knowing what comes along with it. But afterwards, you know, when you see the change in you and when you see how people respond to you, it's going to be worth it. So that's what you just tell yourself. A lot of self-talk during those wilderness season. A lot of self-talk. To say, okay, Carla, I'm going to be all right. God is using me. He's pruning me. It's going to make me better. I'm learning how to master my emotions. I'm not going to go off on them people. I'm not going to act in anger. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm not going to, like, you got to have a lot of self-talk. Mm-hmm. We see David in them Psalms. He talked a lot to himself. A lot. You know, we see that throughout Scripture, that self-talk, because we need that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we grow faith for what we hear. So when we're speaking that positivity over ourselves and speaking the truth of God's word, we will grow faith for it. We'll grow faith that this is a season, that this ain't going to be forever.
Yeah.
If I keep myself that, because it'll feel like it's going to last forever. It really will, even though that sounds ridiculous. But in your mind, you feel like it's never going to end, and you will buy into that. And then when you step back, like, why did I think that was going to last forever when I'm not even going to last forever on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I bought into that, and I'm acting out on that. So you got to have that talk to say, this ain't going to last forever. This is a season.
Mm-hmm.
This is a season.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like it's been lasting forever. But I do have a question. It might be kind of like a silly question because I'm just curious. I know I've talked to y'all several times throughout the last 5 or 6 years and, you know, being sick and marital problems and stuff like that. And you know, like me and my husband, I thought we were doing good and working things out. And, you know, he just up and start acting crazy again. I told him he needed to get help or get deliverance or something or just go. And, you know, he went. And, you know, I've been struggling with that. But, you know, one time when I was on my way to Nashville to see my son, I heard the scripture about the vines and the branches, you know. And I said, God, are you talking about my marriage? And then the other night I had called in and I had talked to Carmen. And she, you know, she gave me a word that, you know, there's some people I want in my life, but God is saying, no, right now he's not allowing it for my benefit. And, you know, when all this happened, I felt like God just wanted me to pray for him, you know, because he's got a lot of trauma and, you know, he's not a bad person, but our marriage has been really rough. And, you know, that's one thing that I'm struggling with because we're a little bit unequally yoked. Does God, like, just sometimes remove a spouse out of your life?
Yeah. God removed my ex-spouse. So, absolutely.
Because, you know, I've been struggling with that because, you know, some people's like, well, you know, you're married. And I'm like, but I know that where God's taking me, he's not ready to go there yet. And it's just been a mess for like the last 7 years. And so, and I think that's part of it. What's been holding me back and holding me down is because it's like, it was a constant fight, not over, you know, things of God, but just a constant turmoil in our home over everything. I mean, he could just be sitting around thinking of something in his own mind, and I come home and get, you know, yelled at, and I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on. I just come home. And, you know, it just kept up a lot of mess, and even though I love him and everything, I just wondered if God sometimes removes husbands. I wasn't sure if he removed husbands. I knew he might remove boyfriends or friends, but I wasn't sure if he removed husbands.
Yeah, I know mine was. My ex-husband was. And it honestly was a struggle to accept because, you know, you hear all these people with good intentions. You know, they say things like, "But God put together, let no man tear apart." And talk about the wife being godly and leading, you know, the husband being a good example and all this kind of stuff. And it's got to be what God put together, not what I put together, not what two people decided.
Right.
God put it together. And I remember when I was at a crossroads in that relationship, and I really didn't know what to do because I sought godly counsel and people that I trusted and loved and that I knew loved me and cared about me and my well-being and wasn't just making emotional, you know, giving emotional advice. And they were like, you know, you got kids and this, that, and the other, you're in college and yada, 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 like giving me very practical advice, but it was not, I didn't have peace about it, even though it was the easier route. And so I remember that night I prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm genuinely confused, and I know this confusion isn't from me. I'm genuinely lost. I genuinely do not know what to do. I don't want to make an emotional decision. I want to do what you want me to do. And that night I had a dream that I was in a forest, and I was lost. And I started to notice that there were other people around me, and they were lost too. And then there was two sons One of them was like a bright, regular color sun. And one of them was really, really bright, but it had like a green cast to it. And so people were like, let's follow this sun that has the green cast because it's brighter. So we'll be able to see easier and go. And now we won't be lost anymore. We'll go where we need to go. And so everybody's following this green sun. It was bigger, too. It was bigger. It was brighter. But it had like this green cast, like something was off about it. And I started to follow, and I'm like, no, I didn't feel right. I was like, I don't feel like that's the right sun. But everybody was telling me, this is the way. Well, we're going to go this way. So if you go that way, you're on your own. Like, you're going to be lost, basically. And I'm like, no, that don't feel right. This one feels natural. This feels like it's the right one. This one feels correct. So I followed the sun that was just the regular sun. And I woke up, and I said, Lord, I know that's a dream from you. And he said, what feels right? And I said, choosing to let that marriage go is what feels right, even though it was easier to just stay, especially considering the position I was in. I wasn't working. My children were young. I was in college. Like, there was just a lot going on. But I was like, okay, I'm going to go to marriage counseling and all that kind of stuff. That was a bust. You know, I started to find out more things, more reasons why it wasn't godly. And stuff just started to come out. And I had peace when I said, you know, I'm letting that go. And I started to flourish. I can tell you now in hindsight, that marriage literally was suffocating the gift of God in me. It was holding me back. It was like having a weight handcuffed to my ankle, and I'm trying to swim. I'm just sinking, but I'm trying. I'm getting tired because I'm trying to keep my head above water. I'm trying to get my technique, but I'm not going nowhere because it was weighing me down. And you know, I remember asking God, why did you let me even enter that marriage? You know, and he said, you never asked. You assumed.
Right.
And I was like, and I did, yes. Because I was a baby in Christ. I had just gotten saved, just given my life to Christ, and that was my boyfriend at the time, and we were shacking, right? What people call shacking, which that's not in the word. But that's you know, people say, well, you're shacking, mm-hmm. That's wrong, and you know, then you can't even have the appearance of evil. That's an evil appearance because as a woman of God, you can't be living with a man and all this. And even though I, you know, became a believer and was like, nope, I'm not going to fornicate and all that kind of stuff, but just constantly being told by women that I trusted and care for, the elders in the church, telling me shacking. So I felt like, well, if shacking is wrong, then, you know, then I got to get married to make it right. I didn't ask God. I didn't ask.
Right.
I thought I was doing the godly thing. I really did. And the marriage was plagued with problems. I mean, plagued. It was like the plagues of Egypt all the time. One year it's the frogs, the next is the locusts, and then the river turned into blood. It was like a never-ending plagues in that marriage. And I was trying to make it work. And I was starting to become angry because I couldn't understand why it wasn't working. I'm trying to do the godly thing. I'm uplifting, giving them Miles Monroe books and Jimmy Evans videos and all. You know, I'm trying to do everything I can in my power and might. But when I let that thing, I flourished. But it didn't, I was, but because of what I was taught, it didn't feel right, but I knew I had peace. I knew I didn't make an emotional decision. I really let the Spirit of God lead me. And sometimes when the Spirit of God leads you, it's very uncomfortable. Because we think, oh, if the Spirit of God leads me, I'm going to feel good about it. No, sometimes you don't feel good about the decisions that God is telling you to do. Jesus didn't feel good about going to the cross. He was sweating blood, but he did it anyway because he knew that was the will of God.
Right.
And so sometimes, especially in that, because marriage is such a tricky subject, and because the stance of the church, people tend to just use that one scripture, what God put together, let no man put apart. But the scripture doesn't say, let no man put apart marriage. It said what God put together, which means if the scripture is specifying what God puts together, that means that there are marriages that God did not put together. Because he specified what God put together. He didn't say marriage. He didn't just say, let no man put apart a marriage. He said, well, God put together. And so when I have the revelation that God did not put that marriage together, I have peace. And all these years later, I could see that I would have still been in that same position. I would have still been dealing
with it. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel, because it's been going on for pretty much about 2 months into our marriage, and we've been married now almost 8 years, and we've been off and on. Every time he gets mad, he leaves or moves out or comes back, and, you know, I ain't never left. I've just kind of hung out and said, you know, I made a vow to you, and here I am, but it is old, and I never asked God about it. I mean, you know, I just thought, well, I love him, I'm going to marry him, but no, I never did ask God about it at all.
Yeah, so, I didn't either.
I don't know.
I never asked. And was married for 10 years total, including the time it took to divorce, which was, that's a whole other story.
I'm trying to change all that. I'm trying to ask God about everything now that is in, especially any major decision, because I'm like, I'm 50 years old and I done messed up about everything. So now I'm going to try real hard to let him lead me. And sometimes I don't always know what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's just that. I said I did. I asked, and I was very startled by that response. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
I was not. God said, "You never asked," and I thought about it, and I'm like, "Huh? You? I didn't. I never. I assumed. I assumed that you were okay. I didn't ask your will. I just kind of, instead of me co-signing what you had for my life, I expected you to co-sign what I had chose to do. I never thought about it, so yeah, I would definitely just ask. You know, and be prepared for whatever God tells you and accept that. I thank God that I had the strength to accept it, because it was a lot of change, and for myself, for my kids, for my life. Everything was different, but like I said, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, I know for a fact, if I would have been still in that marriage. I would not have pursued, you know, the prophetic in me, because he would make me feel bad about the prophetic and say it was from the devil. And it was witchcraft and voodoo and all this other crazy stuff. And, you know, me being a baby in Christ and him having been supposedly raised in the faith, I was trusting that he had more knowledge on the things of God than I had, because I was new at it. But he told me it was not godly to know the things that I knew. And he hated when I prophesied over people. You know, I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I would just start prophesying over people. And people would walk up to me at the store and tell me all their problems. I pray he hated that, you know. And so I was always trying to not be that. But how do you not be you? How do you not be what you're naturally, you know, made to do? And there was just lots of issues, infidelity, lies, porn addiction. It was just like I said, it was a constant plague. I was constantly battling and fighting and feeling like I was getting beat up. I was tired. But I was still like, oh, I made a commitment. I'm going to honor my vows for better or for worse. And I don't know when the better going to come, but I know I'm certainly in the worst constantly. You know, so I was just trying to make the best of things and having kids and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I wanted my kids to be raised in a two-parent household like I was. So I had all these excuses, but I was really miserable. Miserable in that marriage. I really was. You know, and I didn't even realize how miserable I was until I was out of it. And even though it was hard, you know, being a single mom, I had four children. And, you know, I was living in a place I didn't have no family, friends, none of that. You know, but I felt free, even though I was struggling, but I felt like I was finally free and still was having to deal with him because he was, you know, not pleased with the fact that the marriage was ending and having to deal with all that type of stuff on top of it, but it was worth it for me. So like I said, I would never tell somebody, hey, you know, divorce that person. That's not something that you do, you know, lightly. That's something that has to be a God decision. I'm not going to take a religious stance. You made a vow and you have to honor. No, everything we do in life, we have to seek God. Every single decision, we have to seek God, because sometimes it is a rough pill to swallow to know God did not put something together that you've given 8 years of your life and blood, sweat, tears, turmoil, and all sort of stuff, only to know that, well, this ain't where I was supposed to be, and that's why it's not working. You know, finding out that you are the hamster on the wheel, going nowhere fast, just getting tired. You know, that was tough for me to swallow. That wasn't easy for me to accept, to know that I put myself in that position because I didn't do something as simple as to pray and ask God, is this what I should do? You know, but I was also, you know, a baby in Christ. I was 20, 21, 22, something like that. I was young. So not to make an excuse, but to give an explanation, But I thank God for his mercy and his love. I thank God for him restoring the years. And I thank God that, you know, all wasn't lost with me, that I just picked right back up to where I was. And he grew me expeditiously in my gift and in my calling. So I thank God for that. And I thank God even for the experience, because I have a knowledge and a compassion for anybody who's in a situation like that, where I'm not going to beat them over the head and say, oh, you're wrong and you can't get remarried, divorce is evil. And I'm not going to do that, because I know how God has operated and moved in my life. And so many people stay in marriages because of what people have been taught from religion. And it's not coming from a place of love. It's literally coming from a place of ritual and religion and what people are saying. But you got to go by what God is saying and not people. Just like in that dream, a lot of people were telling me to go the other sun. It made more sense. It was bigger. It was brighter. But it was off. And that's how I felt. Because people were giving me advice. So it's like, stay in the marriage. Your children are young. You're in college. Or people are telling me, get a plan, you know, graduate college, this, that, and the other, and wait till your kids are older. That made sense. But it still, even though these were people I loved and respected, it didn't feel right. Even though I knew that they had my best interest at heart. So, you know, ask, have a candid conversation with the Lord, and then have the faith to make the move, whatever he tells you to do, whether he tells you to stay and tough it out or if he tells you to go. But trust God in it, no matter what.
Yeah, I've been praying about it for a long time, and I think he's probably confirmed it two or three times. I don't know. I think I start looking at, I'm 50 years old, I don't want to start over again and stuff like that. But you know, there's nobody else in my life except my child and two sisters, so other than him. So it kind of makes a little sense the other night with that. But I'm still praying about it and everything. So, but yeah, I just, you know, I've been really struggling with that, because I'm like, you know, I wasn't sure if, you know, God would just remove a husband like that, but I believe he's removed him a long time ago. We just kept trying and trying, even when we probably shouldn't have. But anyway, I will let y'all get to some more callers, and I sure do appreciate y'all.
Our pleasure. Thank you for calling in tonight. God bless you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
That was good stuff. Next caller, 870-415. Who are we speaking to?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Hi, Shavonda from Arkansas.
Shavonda?
Shavonda.
Shavonda,
how are you tonight?
I'm good.
We down in the Mid-South. In Arkansas, we make good water down there. It's salt water down there.
Lots of greenery.
Lots of greenery. Let's pray, Savannah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Savannah tonight, Father God. We thank you for maturity, maturing things coming into season. I'm just saying, like your your maturing phase, the time of things, not even just you personally, but things in your life are reaching that maturity phase in your life, to where it's able to stand. It's ready. You know, things are ready. Because when you reach maturity, you're able to produce. When you are mature, you know, you're able to produce at a high level when you're mature. When fruit matures, it's able to be picked and used for consumption. You know, it's good. All the vitamins and everything that is supposed to be packed with is there, because it is reached maturity. And I see, like, with things in your life that you pray for and wanted to see grow and to develop are at that point now, to where it's reached maturity, to where it's ready to serve you, you know, it's ready to be used. And I see God telling you he's ready to use you. Yeah. God is ready to use you. Like he wants you to be used. Yes. Because, you know, we have goals and ideas, you know, and different paths in life that we want to take. But I see God has put some things on hold to get you to a point to where he can use you, to where he wants, you know, you to be a blessing to the kingdom. And whatever way that is, you know, you're ready for it. And the things around you are ready for it. You don't have to worry about where, like, the resources. God is providing all the resources. You don't really have to think a lot about it. You know, the Lord says that you are ready. You know, we try to second guess ourselves, you know, when God calls us to do things, because we don't see, you know, we think we know what it means to be ready. And what it means to be ready to God is just being yielded. And he knows when you're ready. Because he said he'll send you out. And he says that you're ready. So you don't have to procrastinate any longer. You don't have to think about it any longer. We just thank God for your strength, your confidence. We come against any fears, any hindrances that try to hold you from doing what God has called you to do. Yes, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the work that he's begun in you, he will finish it. He will complete it. So we just thank you, Lord, that she moves forward and walks into what you've called her to do, that she embraces it and nurtures it properly, mm-hmm. so that you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I want to just say thank God for him being gentle with me, as he is a good father, but as we go through life, sometimes we just don't understand how, you know, sometimes you're not prepared to go through different seasons, or you may not even be aware of what's happening. Right now, I used to worry so much. I don't know. I used to worry about stuff that wasn't even my issue. But right. Now, like I was on the call Saturday night with Carmen, and she was talking about how everything was seen as a whirlwind. So I finally went back to church Sunday, and that the prophetess there, she basically spoke the same word where things will be happening between August and December. It was rapidly, and I had just went on leave from my other job, but I got an offer the next day. From somebody, because I'm concerned, you know, doing nursing again, and I got an offer for a previous job, which
wow.
I'm on staff there. Yeah, it's that fast. That fast.
Wow.
So I'm trying to process. I'm trying not to, you know how you get excited, but I want to stay focused. So I'm thankful, and I was just, you know, I got a lot of no's. But this man, even he went as far as there's a company that he is working through. They do the pen, but he even said that if he had some, he would pay me out of his own pocket. So
wow.
I'm grateful to God, and I'm being patient. Whatever, you know, he sees fit is less hours, less work.
Yeah.
So more time to be, you know, aware of what God is speaking to me, so I can actually, you know, be in a church home, but also commit myself like I should, because we get busy so much and you still have responsibilities, but the main, you know, God is the main priority. So
mm-hmm.
I just thank God.
Amen.
Yeah, I am getting a lot of confidence, but I do feel like I'm growing up, not just by age-wise. I just feel like I grew, I don't know, like, I ain't gonna say put 6 years on it, but I grew real fast overnight. That's what it felt like.
Well, that's what it does. You know, when things click, they finally click, and you be like, oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yes.
I hear you. Yeah, when you... When that wisdom kicks in and you have a level of understanding and God shows himself in a different way to us, to where we get it, that's the maturity. Because now you've learned something, you've gained some knowledge, you gained some wisdom, you gained some understanding of something. And so, now you know. So,
yes. It cost me some sacrifices, too. I had to cut off a lot of family members. It wasn't just after my mom died. It wasn't just after that. It was just, you know, I probably don't got but one or two people I might call. I don't even know. Or they might call me. I don't even really look at the phone the most. It's just... But it's a journey. And I don't ask for stuff, but you better be ready to receive it.
So better. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
So better. Wow. You got anything you want to pray for?
No, sir. You basically, you prayed about the hindrances and the, you know, you prayed the prayers.
Thank God for it. You got anything you want to say? Okay. Wow. That's good. It's good to hear from you. And,
yes, sir.
And we just pray God's protection over you and that he comforts you. Because he's a comforter. And that he continues to comfort you in your walk. And as you continue to experience our life and see how God moves you through it. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank y'all. God bless y'all.
God bless
you too. Have a good night.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
My cough is kicking in. Y'all pray for me because my allergies been flared up and it gives me a cough. So if you hear me coughing, that's what that is. All right, let's get to our next caller here, 334-590. Who are we speaking to?
It's Jayla.
We knew it. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. It's Jayla. You know who that is.
That name
does
sound familiar. How are you doing, Jayla?
I'm doing okay.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. When my wife is coughing, I start.
I'm going to get this water in me.
Yeah, just get your water. But we thank you. We thank you for Jayla tonight, Father God. We thank you for the pressure. Like applying pressure. I see God like really is applying pressure. To your life, to situations. It's like, you know, when you earn, me, I grew up in a day where we earned our clothes. So, and we press them pants and we press and we're applying the pressure and the heat, you know, from the iron to get those wrinkles out. So we can get a crease in them jeans. I want the crease in my pants. I want those things to be popping when I step out. It wasn't nothing to man, you could see me without a crease. A crease was a part of the process. A crease was part of the outfit. Our pants didn't have a crease in it. It just wasn't done right. I wasn't going to wear them. But... And I had to be rid of all of those wrinkles. It's as if God like applying pressure to you, turning up the heat, you know, to bring out the wrinkles, you know, and sometimes depending on how the light we hit a pair of pants or whatever you situation you're ironing in, sometimes you can miss those wrinkles because you didn't see it. You know, where I see God like adjusting like everything for you to see, and like God giving you like opportunities to get rid of the wrinkles, like you're ironing, and like the pants is like your life. The pants is the symbolic of your situation, and the iron is symbolic of His word. And His word is on fire. His word is hot. His word is real. And the pressure of your faith to believe in that word is going to remove those wrinkles so that you can get a firm crease, a crease in your life, a straight crease. You know, I've never had like a curvy crease or nothing in my pants. My crease will be straight. Boom. But God is like giving you like straight to the point answers. He's giving you straight to the point, straight to the point thoughts. Like his voice, what you're hearing is straight to the point. You don't have to rationalize with it. You don't have to ponder on it. His yes is yes, and his no's are no. His yes is yes, and his no's are no. And God is being straight up with you in every area of your life, and in the directions and instructions that he's giving you. It's just up to you if you're going to earn or not. And you want to wear those pants wrinkled, you know, go ahead. But you want that look, you want the crease, you want them pants done right, go on and press it. You know, press it. Just follow what God is saying. Just yield to what God is telling you to do. That's always going to be the best outcome. Always going to be the best outcome. And Lord, we just thank you for your word being true, Father God. We thank you for us accepting.
Mm-hmm.
That what you say is true, us really believing that what you say is true. And we come against all demonic influences right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of manipulation. We bind that right now in the name of Jesus. We come against that lying spirit that controlling sabotaging spirit in Jesus' name, the trickster. We bind you right now in the name of Jesus to come out and remove yourself now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name, come out. Hallelujah. Come out in Jesus' name. I repeat the blood of Jesus over Jayla, Father God. I repeat your blood over her life, her situation, Father God. Her thoughts, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we repeat the blood. Repeat your blood. Hallelujah. We pray that her eyes are open in Jesus' name, that her ears are open to hear clearly. Yes. Hear in Jesus' name. Get back within distance. Hallelujah. Because you know, like, depending on, like, like you can know your, let's say your best friend, you know your best friend's voice, right? And, but depending on how close you are, depends on, you know, how you hear it, right? You know, the further away they get, you know, the further away the sound is, the harder it is to hear what they're saying. And especially if they're just talking and they're not yelling. See, God is saying he's not yelling at you. God is talking to you. So he's saying if you can't hear him, get close. Just like me talking right now. If I kept this same tone right now and having this conversational tone, but I get up and start walking away, but I'm still talking to you in this same tone, and the further I get away, you're not going to hear me. But that doesn't mean I stop talking. It just means because of the distance, you wasn't able to hear. For the Lord says, you know, he draw nigh to him, he draw nigh to thee, you know. He's like, get closer to him so that you can hear exactly, you know, clear. Like, oh, okay, I thought you were saying this. Yeah, because a lot of times we get things messed up based on the distance that we get in between trying to hear somebody. Over there, it sounded like you were saying this. No, that's not what I was saying. I'm saying this right here. Because now you get close. You within range. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for closing the gap and the range so Taylor can hear you and interpret properly what you're saying. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. Yeah, I'll pray for my knees. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I got these knees. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good prayer.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank God. Hallelujah.
That was good. I felt that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We just have to reflect and thank God for what he's done and where he's brought us from, because, you know, as we continue to grow, and especially when you're anointed to do a work, man, when you're anointed, man, the enemy is going to come at you. He tries to rob you of that anointing, you know. I was reminded of a story about Samson the other day, you know, listening to another pastor and reminding me about it. You know, Satan is always trying to steal your thunder, man, trying to steal your power, trying to get you to disclose the secrets, because it's things that Satan doesn't know unless you tell him. It's things that God has shared with you, that God has reassured you that he's with you, you know. But he don't want you walking with God. He don't want you walking with God. And the more we realize that, the better off we'll be. We know anything that Satan's trying to do ain't good for us at all. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Ain't there on that? Ain't on that? Amen. Amen.
And so we thank you for Jayla. We still the prayer in the blood of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for giving us eyes to see that the scales are coming off. That the scales are coming off, where she's able to see things clearly for what they really are, and able to separate herself from the what the enemy's been trying to do in her. Because sometimes we think it's coming from ourselves, and we tend to trust ourselves, so we tend to through the things that we feel like it's coming from self. But Lord, give her the identifying eyes to see when it's self and when it's something that the enemy is trying to do to sabotage and to get in the way and to try to mimic the plans. So we thank you, Father God, for her being a seeker of truth and an identifier of truth. Because we have all sorts of things presented to us all the time, and they like to mask themselves as the truth. But help her to see past the mask. Let the masks fall off where she can see truth for what it truly is and move in truth. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You got anything in particular you want us to go with you on?
Not tonight. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. Just know that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right, because that don't come from that doesn't come from us.
Uh-uh.
It don't come from feelings, nothing. It literally comes from the Lord. It's supernatural.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord, and that's what you tap into. Because sometimes we're just too broken and too hurt and too confused to try to get something out of us. We can't get out of us what we don't possess in us. But God is joy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have the joy of the Lord and make that our strength and rely and lean on that, because that it's not based on anything else. It is what it is. It's not, it doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It's steady. It's strong. It's a foundation. And sometimes, yeah, we're going to feel good because we're feeling good, you know, or because things are going our way, or we got clarity and all this kind of stuff. But sometimes we don't have none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to tap into something outside of us. It's got to come supernaturally because we don't possess it, because we got things going on. Stuff's in turmoil. We're in turmoil. We don't know. And that doesn't feel good, but we can still have that joy. So tap into that joy, and that's what you pray. Sometimes we praying about situations. Sometimes we got to pray, Lord, give me your joy.
Yeah.
Help me to tap into your joy. Help me focus on that. Help me not to focus on what's going on. Like Peter, focusing on the waves starts to sink.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to focus on your faith. Focus on your words. Because Peter got out the boat because the Lord told him to. He came for his words. He said, come. And he did. And he was able to overcome all the natural until he started to look around and focus on it, and then he started to sink. And so we have to focus on the joy of the Lord when we're in a crisis or we're in turmoil so that we don't allow that thing to try to overtake us, because it will try to.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy's always looking for opportunity to kill, steal, and destroy. And so, of course, he's going to try to use our circumstances or how he knows we're feeling, because we tend to, you know, he tends to know. He watches us. So he knows how we're feeling, or we'll say it out loud or whatever. So he tries to use it to bait us into taking us to a really bad place, a really dark place. But if we tap into the joy of the Lord, we don't focus on that.
Yeah.
And we try to say, well, I'm in it. How do I not focus on it? Just like Peter was in the water. Waves crashing. You think he wasn't getting wet? He wasn't focused on that. He's focused on the Lord. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes that's the only thing that we can do in those moments. Is focus on the Lord, because if we don't, we'll that thing will try to drown us. That situation will stop everything. It'll try to take us down, take us out. But we have an answer. God always provides an answer. There's an out to everything, and it's always Him. All paths lead to Christ to get us past and get us through. He's the bridge. He's the tunnel. He's the boat. Sometimes He's just what's gonna anchor your feet, but He is the way every time. So you focus on that, and that's what's gonna get you through. Is the joy of the Lord. That's what's going to keep you strong. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Period. It's the strength. Because we need strength to get through everything in life.
Yeah.
You can't even get out of bed without strength in your legs. So everything requires strength. And you allow that to be your strength. Not relying on self or intellect or any of that. People, The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you for calling, as always.
Thank you both. I love you both. I hope you all have a blessed week ahead. I really appreciate you all.
We appreciate you.
And we're always praying for you.
Absolutely. I ain't gonna never stop.
Yeah, but we out of time. So everybody make sure you call back 10 minutes because it'll be 8:45. Hit 1, get in the queue. Let Randy pray for you after he gives his message. Prayers over everybody on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So if you need prayer, he'll get you.
Yeah.
Call back. But we love you, Jayla. We love you all, callers. And we are, that's it for us. So until next time, good night, everybody.
Good night. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.